Praise the Lord. Good evening. Let's start our worship with a prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day you give us. We magnify you. We adore you. Our Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness. Thank you for everything you give and you provide for us, O God. Thank you for all the achievement that you allow us to achieve from morning to now. Thank you, Lord, for our good health. And thank you, Lord, for your presence in our lives. Oh God, thank you for the wonders and miracles and the achievement that you are continuing doing in our life. And thank you for the victories. Thank you for the obstacles that you allow us to overcome. And thank you for the provision, guidance, deliverance. Thank you for the new souls that are saved. Thank you for more workers you are adding to us. And thank you, Lord, for opening our eyes always to the truth and directing us in your ways. We thank you for all the jobs and the incomes of our brethren, O God. Thank you for all the committed workers that they have set their life to serve you and to give you what is their best from their life and, O God, their time and their effort to evangelize, reaching new people. We thank you for all the Bible studies. Thank you for their... also, Lord, we thank you for... all the evangelism, thank you for all the families, the workers, and also for the hospital, for all the congregation that you have put here in UAE, O God, in Oman, in Kuwait, in Iraq, in Philippines, India, and Sri Lanka, and also the rest of our brethren that they are scattered in different places, O God. We thank you for all the Christians that you allow the church to reach out in the name of Jesus. We ask you, Lord, to lead us to more souls, to be evangelized and reach out. I pray for more people to repent and come to you and to know you as Lord and Savior in their life. I pray for more people to get water baptized. I pray for each and every one of us that our character and attitude to be like you, that you will cultivate more fruit of the Holy Spirit. Increase our love, O God. Increase our love to you and to others. I pray, Lord, to give us wisdom how to manage our time, finances, effort, evangelism. Teach us more ways and to be tactful, to be discerning, to hear your voice, to accept your instructions, to apply your instructions, O God, in our life. Lord, we magnify you, O God. We adore you. We worship you, Lord. We pray that you anoint this worship, anoint the songs, anoint the prayers. I know the giving, I know all the items of our worship. I know the Word of God speak to us and guide us through the scriptures of what we need to do and know. We thank you, Lord. We bless you. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's stand and worship the Lord.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I want to see you. I want to see you. See you. I live.
We thank the Lord for all the miracles, the wonders that you are doing. We thank you for your presence in our life, in the life of your church and your people, our holy God. We thank you for your faithfulness, O God, that you never leave us nor forsake us. You are always with us, bringing us back to the right way, delivering us from enemies, doing miracles, supporting us, opening doors for us, saving us from troubles, and for all these things, O God. We are grateful, we are thankful to you. And even this time, O God, that we commit ourselves to evangelize, to reach the lost, to help those who are in need of help. Send us, Lord. Send us to the perishing souls. Send us to families and people. We believe there are people who need you, O God. Show us, Lord. Show me. Show your people. Show your, all the workers and the pastors and Lord, all the elders and the workers. Show us so that we can move to help them. Express our love and our gratitude to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
There is no one.
Church and your people. We magnify, Lord. We adore you, great God. There's no one like you. Thank you, Lord. Continue to take us deep in your love. Teach us more of your ways, that we will fear you, we'll learn obedient. We'll humble ourselves before you. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's now give bring our tithes and offering to the storehouse of God, so that we can secure that the Lord shall open the windows of heaven and bless us and pour us so much blessing that we have no place to keep. Thank you, Lord, for your provision. Thank you for your commands to teach us to bring the tenths, that we will receive the windows of heaven open on us. Thank you for rebuking the devourer. Thank you for all things that people buy for us. Bless your people. Look down from heaven and see the heart of your people who are willing to follow you, O God. And bless them and multiply this money and use it to reach the lost. We thank you, God. We bless you. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Continue to speak today about how to take decision, and we will start to study today a life of two persons who use the right way of, one of them used the right way of take decision, the other used the wrong attitude in taking important decision in his life. We will speak today about King Saul and King David, in pertain of how we need to give importance to the church and to the leader of the church of how to take a decision. Let's open our Bible in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 14. The importance of the church for the members. The church helps the member to take godly decision for God. And that is the thing that is now, I always repeat, there's a gap between the church and the people. People cannot understand that. The church helped them and guide them to take right decisions. And the church has also forgotten. Now the church is not interested to go into people's lives, personal life, and help them in their decision. But that is the failure of the church before God, and the church of God need to repent of this. Leaders who are not concerned about their members and about how they will take decision, who are not interfering with them, with their serious decisions and important decisions in life. This is not the church that God wants us to stay in. And also when the church is interested to give advices and guidance from scriptures and guided by the Holy Spirit, then members who are not willing to open up and willing to cooperate, they are just creating troubles for themselves. In First Samuel chapter 14, we will read from verse 1 to 3. Before we continue, let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you, Boss. I know your scriptures that you give to us today, and not my lips, and put verses and scriptures in the front of us to challenge us to obey you as a church and as individuals and as members, that every one of us to heed your word and to submit to your word. We thank you, we praise you. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Now it came to pass upon a day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said unto the young man that bare his arm, and come, and let us go over to the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side. But he told not his father. And Saul tarried in the uppermost part of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree, which is in Migron. And the people that were with him were about 600 men. And Ahiah, the son of Ahitob, Ichabod's brother, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh, wearing an ephod, and the people knew not that Jonathan was gone. Now here, I read these three verses just to mention that there is a priest, Ahiah, the son of Ahitob, Ichabod the brother, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli. Now here is not the name is important, but important that there was a priest was beside Saul, and they are about to engage in a war and battle with the Philistines, and the work of the priest there is to fulfill the scripture that we have read previously in Numbers chapter 27 about how God instructed Moses that Joshua should lead, and the way that Joshua will lead, that he will not take decision alone, but he will be in harmony and agreement with the priest. Numbers chapter 27, let's read verse 21. Say, and he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall ask counsel for him after the judgment of Urim before the Lord. At his word shall they go out, and at his word they shall come in, both he and all the children of Israel with him, even all the congregation. Now here the point is very clear, that the priest is there to make a decision to go out for war or to come in. We will not read the whole chapter in 1 Samuel chapter 14, but we will go to verse 16, when the watchman started to watch some movement of the enemy, and how God was shaking them. And let's read verse 16 onward to verse 18. And the watchman of Saul in Gibeah, Benjamin, looked, and behold, the multitude melted away, and they went on beating down one another. Then said Saul unto the people that were with him, number now, and see who is gone from us. And when they had numbered, behold, Jonathan and his armor bearer were not there. And Saul said unto Ahiah, bring hither the ark of God, for the ark of God was at that time with the children of Israel. Now here Saul was calling the priest to inquire to God whether he need not engage with the battle, or we or whatever God will say. Meanwhile, while this going on, while the priest was raising his hand to pray and to ask God, and it came to pass, in verse 19, while Saul talked unto the priest, that the noise that was in the house of the Philistine went on and increased. And Saul said unto the priest, withdraw thine hand. While he was praying, the priest, what is the report that coming from the Philistine, from the house of the Philistine, that they were more melting away, and it's clear that God is dealing with him. Now, Saul, he thought the priest will throw their hand, because it is very clear that we need to go and fight, because God is giving us victory. Now, some people, when they take decision, this is very clear. Why I need to ask? No, why you need to ask? Even it's very clear. Certain time you don't know what is hidden, only God knows, and that's why you need to inquire. You need to come to the church and tell what is going on, the whole story. And also, if you have such attitude, you will decide independently by yourself. One day you will be trapped and fall into a big problem, and you will just receive the consequences after that. Besides all that, what Saul did, it is a disrespect and disregard to the priest that God had placed there to help him in a decision making, and that is the meaning of it, is rejection for the blessing of God and his guidance into his life. You know, this arrangement should go on. There'll be from the church, there should be care and follow up closely and care. And from the members should enjoy that privilege and enjoy God's protection for them through this arrangement that he allowed in the scriptures. Now, to the contrary to that was King David, and the situation of Saul being disrespectful to the priests, and he has no regard to them, the gap was become more when God anointed David to be king in Israel. And when God was with David, Saul has been jealous of David. And as David was asking the priests and inquire of them of the counsel of God, Saul started to become more angry to the priest, thinking that the priests were against him and they were siding with David. Let's read the incident that happened in 1 Samuel chapter 22. And let's read verse 6. You know, when Saul was complaining that no one is with him and they are betraying him, and he come to hear the information that David was with the priest. And let's read it. And let's read from verse 6. When Saul heard that David was discovered and the men that were with him, now Saul abode in Gibeah under a tree in Ramah, having his spear in his hand, and all his servants were standing about him. Then Saul said unto his servants that stood about him, hear now, ye Benjamites, will the son of Jesse give every one of you fields and vineyards, and make you all captains of thousands and captains of hundreds, that all of you have conspired against me, and there is none that showeth me that my son hath made a league with the son of Jesse, and there is none of you that is sorry for me, or showeth unto me that my son hath stood up my servant against me, to lie in wait as at this day. the answer of Duig the Adamite, which was set over the servants of Saul, and said, I saw the son of Jesse coming to Nob, to Abimelech, the son of Ahitub, and he inquired of the Lord for him, and gave him victuals, and gave him the sword of Goliath, the Philistines. Now here mentioned here in verse 10, in verse 10, that David came to the priest to inquire of him about God. Now here's the difference between David and Saul. David was anointed king after Saul. When he started to inquire of God through the priest, that confirmed that he's the king, because he was doing right. When we obey the orders of God, we prove that we are the children of God. Verse 11, then the king sent to call Ahimelech, the priest, the son of Ahitub, and all his father's house, the priests that were in Nob, and they came all of them to the king. And so said, Hear now, thou son of Ahitub. And he answered, Here am I, my lord. And so said unto him, Why have ye conspired against me, thou and the son of Jesse, in that thou hast given him bread and a sword, and hast inquired of God for him, that he should rise against me to lie in wait as at this day? Now here, the gap between Saul and the priest become more big, and he's thinking that the priests are conspiring with David against him. You know, the church leaders who are faithful, who are following God, who are obedient to the commands of God, they will never be siding people or favoring people over another. They will not be biased, but they are careful to give the advices to each and everyone in a correct way. Then, verse 14, and Ahimelech answered the king and said, And who is so faithful among all the servants as David, which is the king's son-in-law, and goeth at thy bidding, and is honorable in thine house? In verse 15, did I then begin to inquire of God for him? Be it far from me, let not the king impute anything unto his servant, nor to all the house of my father, for the servant knew nothing of all this, less or more. Now here, Ahimelech the priest, he told the king, it is not the first time that David came to you to inquire of him, to inquire of God for him. So here it was the habit of David, before he would do major things, he would go to the priest and ask him advice. Verse 16, Saul was very angry, and the king said, Thou shalt surely die, Ahimelech, thou and all thy father's house. And the king said unto the footmen that stood about him, Turn and slay the priests of the Lord, because their hand also is with David, and because they knew when he fled and did not show it to me. But the servants of the king would not put forth their hand to fall upon the priests of the Lord. He wanted to kill them, but his servants, they refused, because first, the priest did not do anything wrong. Second, they feared God. And third, if they will kill the priest, they will lose all the rest of the direction that they need to take in their lives. And the king said to Doeg, Turn thou and fall upon the priest. And Doeg, the Edomite, turned and fell, and he fell upon the priest, and slew on that day 85 persons that did wear a linen ephod. And Nob, the city of the priest, smote he with the edge of the sword, both men and women, children and sucklings, and oxen, and asses, and sheep, with the edge of the sword. And one of the sons of... So he killed almost all the priests. In verse 20, and one of the sons of Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, named Abiathar, escaped and fled after David. So here only one God allowed to flee, to escape and flee to David, because David, he respects and the word of God, and he has accountability to the as the priest edition. That's why God saved this man, so that David will not be without guidance from God. You see here, those who reject the provision of God, God will take his provision to other people who deserve it. And Abiathar showed David that Saul has slain the Lord's priest. And David said unto Abiathar, I knew it that day when Doeg the Edomite was there, that he would surely tell Saul, I have occasioned the death of all the priests of thy father's house. Verse 23, David said to the priest of Aaron, abide thou with me, fear not, for he that seeketh my life, seeketh thy life, but with me thou shalt be in safeguard. Now these are the statements that David said to the priest and what he committed himself to do. He told Abiathar, the priest, abide with me. He will come home. He kept him with him. Second, fear not, I will not be going to harm you, but I appreciate what God give me. Third, he told him, with me thou shalt be in safeguard. It means that I will protect you, I will provide for you. And here is the difference between Saul and David. We as church leaders, whom God called us to serve people, those who reject us, we move away from them because they are unworthy. And we will go to the worthy people who are willing and who are ready to be helped, to be supported, to receive the guidance from God. Let's all stand. Commit ourselves to what we receive today from scriptures. Let us repent. Let us know that God had a place beside us, faithful people who are willing to help us. We need to go to them. And also let us know that God had called us to care for the sheep. Those who want to follow God, we need to give them instructions. Those who does not want to follow, well, we have to move away from them. Thank you, Lord, for your word to us. Thank you for your provision. We commit ourselves today to obey you and walk in your ways. Lord, as we had prayed, take us deeper in love with you. Help us to love your word, to abide in your word, to apply your word in our life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Master. Let this word of yours bring healing and help and support your church and your people. Oh, Lord, bless us. Enlarge our territory, Lord. Let your hand with us. Keep us from harm, so that we not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Ghost be with us all, in Christ's name. Amen and amen.